The co-working conundrum. Let's talk about what happens when co-working doesn't work out so well. Co-working spaces, sometimes they're more just like office rental, as opposed to this grand vision of collaboration and networking and such. At least that's what we're going to hear about in today's Failure Friday story. This is a collection of short stories. Well, the whole segment known as Failure Friday is a collection of stories about mistakes, missteps, disasters, of course, failure, all the things that don't go super well, all the things that don't work out. Now, we're always telling you stories of people who are starting successful side hustles, making lots of money, or at least making a good amount of money, but also sometimes creating really positive change in their life. But there are also times in which we need to adjust and regroup and maybe go back to basics or try something different. So these stories vary a lot, but they often begin with an idea or an assumption, a prediction, and then that idea, assumption, prediction meets reality. And then how does the person learn, adjust, adapt, and so on? So in this week's segment, we're going to hear from a freelancer who sought community and collaboration in a co-working space only to find isolation and unmet expectations. This story reveals the gap between the promise of co-working spaces, at least sometimes, some of them, they're all very different, and the reality of solitary office rental. So let's hear the story. Her name is Jenna. She's a graphic designer. She'll talk about what happened in her quest for collaboration and, yeah, what happened after that. All right, I'm going to pass the microphone over to Jenna.
My name is Jenna, and I'm a freelance graphic designer with a passion for creating visually compelling narratives. When I first ventured into freelancing, I thought it would be cool to rent a space at a co-working place. They were touted as the melting pot of creativity and collaboration, a shared office where ideas flourish and partnerships are forged. Eager to escape the solitude of my apartment, I rented a spot in what was marketed as the most dynamic co-working space in town. My expectations? High. My hopes? Through the roof. The reality, however, fell drastically short. From the moment I stepped into the space, I could sense the disconnect between the promise and the reality. The glossy brochures showcased lively common areas, impromptu brainstorming sessions, and networking events brimming with potential. Instead, I found myself surrounded by people deeply immersed in their own worlds, headphones on and minimal interaction. The few attempts I made at conversations were met with polite nods before a swift return to the solitude of their screens. It wasn't the collaborative utopia I'd envisioned. It was just office rental with a fancier name. Over the months, the isolation wore on me. The networking events that were advertised occurred far less frequently than promised, and often felt forced, with attendees more interested in selling their services than engaging in meaningful exchange. I realized the community aspect of co-working spaces, at least in my experience, was largely a marketing myth. It was a disillusioning revelation for someone who thrived on creative synergy and sought a community of like-minded individuals. Financially, the co-working space wasn't justifiable either. The cost of renting a desk simply didn't add up when those interactions failed to materialize. I found myself paying a premium for amenities and a promise of community that was, for the most part, non-existent. The turning point came when I overheard a fellow tenant refer to the space as just a quieter, more expensive coffee shop where you're not expected to buy coffee. In hindsight, my co-working journey was a valuable lesson in the reality of freelancing and the myth of certain professional environments. It taught me that true networking and collaboration often occur in more organic settings, not necessarily in curated environments designed for profit. I learned the importance of doing my homework, managing my expectations, and realizing that no space, no matter how inspiring it might seem, can substitute the genuine, hard-earned connections made through shared experiences. Today, I've returned to my home office, but with a new perspective. I seek out networking opportunities in my community, attend workshops and events related to my field, and have built a network of fellow creatives and entrepreneurs on my terms. The co-working space wasn't the creative haven I hoped for, but next time, I'll know better.
Jenna Jenna, thank you for sharing the story. And listeners, if you're looking for co-working spaces and co-working connections, collaboration, as I said, they're all so different. And some places in some cities and locations, there are really wonderful collaborations and wonderful co-working spaces. I have spoken at a number of them. I've done events at them. I have many friends who rent space at co-working locations. So it really just depends. Like, you just need to go and scope it out. And maybe if you do a tour, ask the owner or the organizer or the manager or whoever's in charge, who else is here and what are they here for? You'll get a lot of information just by having that tour and those conversations. So maybe the lesson is don't rent your co-working space sight unseen. Maybe check it out for yourself first. Anyway, never confuse a single defeat with a final defeat. Some other concluding advice for you. Thanks to Jenna for sharing the story. If you have a question, listeners, or an update for us about your hustle, you know where to go, sidehustleschool.com/questions. This has been episode 2680. Excited to bring you much more in the days to come. My name is Chris Guillebeau. You're listening to Side Hustle School.
From the Onward Project.